Hey, Mikkel, thank you so much for being here.
Hey.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy and so grateful that you're giving us your time today. And I know my nutrition school peeps, friends, alum, students, everybody is going to be so happy to hear the incredible information, advice, tips you have today. So, all you nutrition school friends watching this, for those of you who don't know, we are here today with Mikkel Hill from Nutrition Stripped, and I'm sure you know her. If you don't know her, you have to go right this second and follow her on Instagram at Nutrition Stripped. She is a fellow registered dietitian. And Mikkel and I met the beginning of, I guess, almost about a year ago, probably. We started chatting, and we met via, we were both copied on an email for something we were both interviewed for. And so
That's right.
that's how we first connected. So we started chatting about some things, and then we started chatting on Skype. You know, we're not in the same area, so we didn't sit down for tea or juice or anything. So we started chatting on Skype, and it's been really so much fun getting to know you, Mikkel, and I know my nutrition school students will too. It's been so fun. And again, we started off our careers, you know, differently, but we're both dietitians and we're both entrepreneurs and have many things in common. And it's really been fun sharing our different stories with each other. So I know students, you're going to love hearing from Mikkel. And again, if you don't know her, you'll check out her Instagram. And aside from being a dietitian who's, you know, got obviously so much knowledge and so much great information to share as a dietitian and an entrepreneur, but also specifically, I will say, in the world of photography, because she has an incredible, gorgeous Instagram and website and really nails the photography thing. And yeah, I mean, as all of you students know out there, all you, I keep saying students, but alum too, as all you peeps know, it's almost like we all have to be photographers in this day and age. So Mikkel also, you want to check out also her website, Nutrition Stripped, and she also has the best healthy meal planning wellness membership society. So you definitely want to check that out. And actually, attached to this video, you will find information how you can purchase that with a special discount just for you students. So
Yeah.
that's pretty awesome. Thank you so much for giving that
Yeah,
to
of
everyone,
course.
Mikkel. Really appreciate it. All right, so let's get going because today the topic is your best, the best Instagram photography tips. I know I'm looking forward to hearing this, so let's get going. Where do we begin? Where do we start with?
So I'm really excited. You guys are so lucky to have Carrie kind of mentoring you and teaching you. She's been a personal mentor of mine too, so I'm so excited to share these. So all right, starting off, I think the biggest tip and number one is knowing your demographic, knowing your subject, right? Because some of you, most of you, are in nutrition or food. So that's like kind of an obvious object. But some of you might be dabbling into fitness or mother kind of nutrition for moms or for kids or something. So knowing your demographic, that's really important. Because when you're shooting, you also want to shoot and, kind of create these artistic images that speak to them, right? So you're not going to shoot, kids snacks for a college student demographic. It just doesn't quite make sense. So I think that's the biggest tip, is just knowing who you're speaking and conveying that image to.
That's a really, what I really like about that point is I think so many of us have been taught to do that when it comes to writing. You know, or even let's say whether you're doing media, whether you're writing or you're, you know, doing something on your blog. I think it's for some reason with writing, that's more natural to maybe think about it that way. I don't know, but when you think about visual items, especially for Instagram, I think so many of us just think, okay, what am I doing today? What am I, but and you forget to really think about the audience with as much sort of care as you do when you're writing. So I really love that you brought that up for the artistic side of things as well.
It's all about intention and you're setting the tone. And I mean, that kind of goes into branding and just knowing your demographic, period. But it's a lot easier for you when you're thinking about, oh my gosh, I'm doing a million things. Like, sure, I want to show everybody every minute of my day. Like, you can, but if you want to be really strategic about it and have a solid kind of framework, it's easier for yourself to just know your demographic. So that's the biggest one.
Love that.
Number two, if I'm going to number these, style. Okay, so everybody has their unique style, and I think that that's the beautiful thing about photography and art in itself. I've always been really artistic and creative. That was one of my first majors. So in high school, I was a total, like, I had a 2.0. I just didn't care about school because I was going to go to art school and all you needed was an art portfolio, right? So I have always been inclined to be creative. So it doesn't mean that you have to have my background or you have to be an art major or anything like that, because everybody can tap into their own creative style. Everybody. Mm-hmm. It's just all about honing in on that and allowing yourself the space to do so. So I think finding your style, whatever that might be, like maybe it's finding some inspirational Instagrams that you really like their photography style, and you're kind of pulling like little aspects from all of these different inspirational photographers. But the key here is making it your own. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think Instagram and social media is really easy to kind of take a look and kind of make, like, just copy. But that's not fun. Mm-mm. Because people want an authentic, you know, viewpoint of what you have to offer. And I think it's really important to create your own. So find your style, practice, and, you know, kind of edit how you will to kind of find your style that speaks to you. And also it has to, again, rounding back to tip number one, it has to speak to your demographic.
Yeah. And do you suggest that when people are figuring out their own style, that they even like keep like a running list of sort of the things that they want to be consistent with? Because I know that sometimes that like sometimes you may know what you like and you know what feels like you and your style, but then you do this and then you do that and you feel like you're all over the place. And it doesn't mean that they're not all you and they're your style, but you still have to sort of be consistent with it, just like you'd be consistent with sort of your writing and your tone. So I find it sometimes helpful to even write down certain things to sort of almost like your own little internal branding, right?
Yeah, totally. Totally. I agree. It's very parallel to writing. So I think that's a great idea.
Okay. Awesome. What's next? I'm loving these.
So now that you have kind of that framework, the next one I think is a pretty obvious one, but having a camera. So if we're talking about Instagram.
By the way, that's not actually so obvious because I think everybody really uses their phones these days. Having an actual real camera is not, I don't think that's actually so obvious. So I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, so you can shoot with a camera. So, like, for example, on my blog, I shoot all with an actual camera, like a Canon DSLR camera. But with Instagram, I'm typically only sharing photos that I'm taking on my phone. So right here, I have an iPhone 6. I started with, like, an iPhone 3, and the images were so grainy. But, I mean, that's just how you start, right? But it's having your equipment, so to speak. You don't have to have an iPhone. I mean, Androids or whatever other kinds of phones that you have are great. But the key is just having one that that can take a decent picture. And there are a lot of kind of little extras that you could look into. Like, there's a really cool lens called Moment Lens. So it's Moment, like M-O-M-E-N-T. It's a really cool company, and they make lens attachments that go on your camera. So you can actually kind of like get the benefit of having a DSLR camera with different lens viewpoints, so you can like widen the shot. So those are just little fun extras, but it helps when you're trying to create a scene or you're trying to, again, speak to your style and to your demographic, whatever that might be.
So that's a really good point, though. So when you said having a camera, I thought you meant an actual real camera, but you actually mean just making sure that you have your camera, even if it's your iPhone camera.
Yeah, so this is the point, though. If you wanted to shoot, you know, from your DSLR camera, you can actually just, like, email yourself or, you know, like, copy it on your phone, and then you could share that picture.
Okay.
The only thing, though, this is what I will say. I'm very strict about the images, right? So if I were to upload a DSLR camera image to Instagram when all the other pictures of mine are from my iPhone, you will dramatically tell the difference because the quality of a DSLR camera is extremely tight and sharp versus an iPhone. So again, like if you want to start shooting that, my tip is kind of runs into my next tip is to be consistent.
Right.
So be consistent with that viewpoint.
So, wait, I just had a question there. You had a really, I know what I was going to say there. So let's say you're spending a day in the kitchen, and this could be anybody, you know, also spending a day, you know, in a gym or doing, you know, doing exercise videos or something. Do you then take some photos for your blog with your DSLR camera and then also take a few for Instagram with your phone? So you get
both. Yeah, that's a great question. Yes. Okay. So that's such a great point. So when I'm shooting, I shoot at home, actually in this room right here, because I have a window that I'm facing right now. So it's
you
the
always
best
have beautiful light, by the way. Beautiful
yeah, it's,
light.
It's I'm lucky with this room. So and it's the winter right now, so my lighting hours are like very restricted.
Right.
But that's the key. So I'll shoot for the blog with my DSLR camera, and I'll have my phone right by me, and I'm taking shots of the same thing.
Okay, that's what.
That's how, like, when I do. You know, whenever I announce, like, hey, guys, I have a new recipe up, it's because I took it at the same time. And it's just, again, consistency for me because I only share iPhone quality photos on Instagram.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. Okay, wait. And so you started with your next tip that was going to be about being consistent, which I'm a freak about. I try to be a freak about with not just social media and Instagram and things, but just sort of everything. And it's tough. So what are your tips there?
Yeah, so consistency on a lot of different fronts. So consistency in life, right? I mean, like, we all want to be consistent with, if we're blogging, Carrie, you know that. Like, you have a very consistent blogging schedule. Consistency with just scheduling in general. You guys are all familiar with it. Everybody can agree of how important having some type of routine is. So the same goes for Instagram. Mm-hmm. Now, that could be, like, your posting times. It could be like on a time management scale, consistency, or it could be the view, right? So the style, again, consistent with your style, consistent with who you're talking to, your captions. Those are really, really important key points there, which is just consistency.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it sounds a kind of simple, but it's actually difficult to do. But when you do it, I think you reap so many benefits. You really have to be diligent about doing it.
Exactly. And like you were saying, like writing down tips for yourself with like style, same thing goes with Instagram, like in terms of consistency, like write down times of day that work for you to post, like, because that's all that matters. Right. Or, you know, like consistency when you're going to shoot Instagram photos for yourself. Like maybe you take an afternoon and you shoot just a bunch of random Instagrams, which kind of seems counter, like opposite of what Instagram was first designed for, right? Instagrams, like you take a picture, instantly upload it. Instagram isn't really used like that anymore. It's used as a pre-planning kind of marketing strategy.
Exactly. And I think most people know that, and that's accepted and okay. I mean, I think that's part of it. And I think, that's fine. That makes sense. Okay, I have a question, and we've talked about this a little before. What about editing? How do you edit your photos so beautifully?
Yeah, editing. Okay, so this goes along with your style, hugely with your style. So when you're thinking about your style, you're thinking about editing, you're thinking about your subject. So for example, food bloggers, it might be a recipe. So your subject is that recipe, that dish. Let's say you're in fitness, maybe you're taking a gym selfie, or you're taking a picture of a client like working out with them or something like that. That's your subject, right? So that's part of the style. And then so that's kind of like the setup too. And then composition, that is hugely part of your style. So the last piece would be editing. So after you've got all those little, you know, kind of things aligned, then you have to edit. So there are a lot of different editing softwares. I'm actually going to pull up on my phone right now so I can properly say all their names.
Oh, great.
So most of the, I would say the most popular editing software for phones and for iPhone photography is VSCO Cam.
Yep.
VSCO Cam.
Yep.
I mean, like, everybody uses that. I like that one because there's a wide variety of library kind of presets, and you can purchase them all, or you can, I mean, they have a lot of free ones as well. But that's great to start with, and you can, again, figure out what kind of vibe is speaking to your own personal artistic style and then also to your demographic. You know, so for example, I'm going to use like children's nutrition as an example. Like when I think about that, I think bright, colorful, fun, messy, like just inviting, right? So if I'm thinking about a fashion blogger, I'm thinking super clean, minimal, maybe muted tones, you know, like very, very different.
Right.
And so again, that's why your demographic and the editing is going to feed off of that. So VSCO Cam is one. There are so many. Afterlight is another one. Snapseed is another one. So that's SNAP seed. And so again, all of those are pretty much the same thing. You have filters, and then you can actually build upon that. So my editing style, I mean, when I first started, I was using Instagram filters, which I think rarely anybody does because they have such a, there's not a lot of control over how you can manipulate the photo just within Instagram. So I don't recommend using those. Mm-hmm. I only recommend using those editing apps. So you can edit, you know, the saturation, so you can make the colors more bright. You can make the picture overall more bright, like if you're shooting in a dim room and you need to bump up the exposure. You can fade the image, which is really cool, too. So, again, it's all about you having to kind of play around with it and finding your style. But once you find it, goes back with consistency. Be consistent about it. Remember those filters that you use. Remember the style and do that. Like all the time.
That's what I was just going to ask you is it seems like once you play around with these, I mean, I know that I always end up kind of using the exact same, you know, amount of a shadow. I mean, obviously depending upon, you know, the light of that picture, but the shadow, the saturation, the filter, like it usually ends up being, I mean, I would say it's 90%. It's about the exact same that I use. I mean, and you obviously do a way better job at the photography thing than I do. That's not as much my thing. However, I still find that I end up still going to the same. So do you find that sort of once you find whether it's on Visco or whatever, do you find that you end up using the same filter over and over and the same sort of amount of shadow, the same amount of saturation?
Yeah, totally. And again, you have to, you know, if I look back to my first photography, my style was very different. And that's just because I've grown as an artist in terms of how I view photography now, and brand growth, etc. Like you all just, you know, can kind of remember that. Like you don't have to stick with the same style for years and years. Like be free to experiment with what your current kind of phase is. And that's okay. But once you kind of land on it, really try to land on it and stick with it.
Yeah, like anything else, you can continue to grow. So consistency doesn't mean you never can change. I always say, I mean, even this isn't the best example because it's not a healthy example, but even McDonald's changed their arches.
Right.
I always go back to that whenever I think like, well, I can't change that or change that. And I'm like, what? Oh, yes, I can.
Yeah, exactly.
Apple could change their logo. It's okay. Like it happens. We can all sort of change and tweak what we're doing, but while we're sort of in a certain zone, to stay consistent there. I think that's a really good sort of point you brought up there, is that you have to continue to grow and you know, you can grow with it and you can change, but and that's a good thing, but while you're sort of doing what you're doing to be consistent. Okay, these are such good tips. So, I love it.
I was going to say one tip on that too, if you guys want to have like a little actionable step or homework, is take one picture, like do a still life. It could be a plant, it could be an apple, whatever, okay? And start experimenting with your style on that one picture.
Right.
Do a bunch of different filters, do all these types of edits, save them all, and look at them and go, okay, hey, is this speaking to my demographic? Is this what I like? Like, do I even like this style? Is this like repeatable? Can I repeat this in different situations? I think that's a really good starting point for those of you who are just like complete newbies at photography or who are just interested in kind of honing in on their unique perspective.
I love homework and I love actionable steps to, you know, to improve something. So I love that tip.
Of course you do, right?
That's fantastic. I love it. I have another question that we didn't touch upon too much yet, is lighting. And again, we said how you've got such gorgeous lighting in the room where you shoot a lot, but what do you suggest about lighting, whether having lights, using light properly, natural light properly? What's your tip there?
Yeah, that's a great question. Also, remind me about props. I wanted to touch on that too. Okay, lighting. So yes, Carrie, like I told you, I have a huge window. So I'm blessed within a certain window of time when I can shoot in here. And so I'll try to plan accordingly. And so that's the best tip, is if you can shoot in natural light, shoot in natural light. Especially when we're talking about food, because food, you know, vegetables, fruits, which many of you, I'm sure, are shooting, they're so beautiful in itself. Like, their colors are beautiful, they're vibrant, the textures are beautiful. So natural light really has this beautiful way of just, like, picking up on those details that artificial lighting doesn't. Artificial lighting can definitely be useful, but number one, I am way too lazy and busy to set up like an artificial lighting thing.
Mm-hmm. I think that's good to know, because your pictures are so beautiful, and I think a lot of people feel like, oh, these people have, you know, the certain lights out, and they're always using, you know, lights and the, you know, the whatever, no. the the, you know what I'm talking about? What's the,
yeah,
the
big, like shadow
the board?
Box.
Just thank you. Yes.
Like,
yes. And they think that everybody has this perfect like studio sort of set up to have these gorgeous, the light boxes and the lights and the this to have these beautiful photos. But I think so it's good to know, and it's inspiring, I'm sure, for everybody listening to know that you don't have to depend on all that.
No, and that's, I mean, that's where editing will be your best friend. So
right.
If your lighting isn't favorable, you can edit that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, no, I mean, 90% of the time I'm in this room, the computer right now is on my dining room table, and that's where I shoot. Or I'll shoot in my living room and I have a huge marble coffee table. Mm-hmm. I mean, so that, it's like, you know, just my home.
Right.
I'm not setting up anything, that's crazy. For the cookbook, yes. I mean, that's a whole other story because
right.
It's a professional environment. I got it. I had to have artificial lighting. But for the majority of you, natural light, okay? So if that's in your home, that's great. Let's say that you, and this has happened to me a million times and now I've learned, but let's say that you cook a recipe or you made dinner and you really want to Instagram it. You're like really stoked about the way that you styled it. It looks beautiful and your lighting is just kind of crappy.
Right.
Go outside. If it is still daylight a little bit, gloomy days, days with a lot of clouds actually create beautiful images. And kind of think the opposite, right? You think like sunshine and a lot of light are going to give you the best images. No, like cloudy, gloomy days like today right now in Nashville is like a perfect day to do photography. So I probably will do some. But again, it just kind of gives that life and movement to it because of the shadows.
Well, what were you going to say about going outside? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So when you go outside, pick a spot with some of that natural light that naturally is there. So if you have a sidewalk or even in the grass or something, sometimes that can help being outside, obviously.
Okay.
And then, yeah. And then, I mean, another option is to do some artificial lighting, but I was just trying to keep it simple for you guys. So natural lighting is the best.
Yeah, I think natural light always looks the prettiest. It really does. It always looks the most beautiful. And you can tell. I mean, you can tell. And again, sometimes you have to depend on artificial lights. And obviously, like you said, for a cookbook shoot or something, you're going to use artificial light. But it is, like I said, it's inspiring to know we don't have to have a whole, you know, studio set up every time we want to take a beautiful picture.
No. Yeah, super simple. And then props. Or is that a good...
Yeah, that's perfect. No, no, props is perfect. I was just going to remind you if you forgot.
Okay.
You said to remind you, but you remembered, so...
So props are... I think props are important in terms of the presentation. When you look at an overall shot, you're looking at, again, the subject, your style, the composition. Composition is really fun because you can play around with the layout of a photo. You know, again, if we're talking about an iPhone or most cameras can give you the option of shooting in square, shooting in photo. I shoot in photo, but for Instagram, it's obviously a square. So if shooting in a square, again, it's a simple change, but that can sometimes keep your perspective, your view perspective, in knowing like, okay, this is how it's going to be laid out in Instagram's world.
Right.
So that can be really helpful, just that setting alone. But, So yeah, anyway, just looking at food props. So backdrops, whether it's a wood table, again, it's all about your style. Do you like wood? Do you like
right.
a lot of linens or napkins or your lap holding a salad bowl? I mean, I think the more that you can have some variety within your style is really important. And you can get food props from anywhere from like antique shops to Amazon, finding cool textures in your own house. Possibilities are limitless there.
Absolutely. And I just think the key there is to just sort of have like your little toolbox of things that you use and go to. So you have them on hand and you're just, you know, you have them ready to go. Sort of like you said, like you play around. I love, you know, that tip you gave, the homework you gave about playing around with that one photo. And then you kind of, you've sort of developed sort of what the type of saturation you're going to use and the type of filter you're going to use. The same thing, I guess, goes with the props. You sort of have a few things ready to go. You start playing around. Maybe you end up not liking them, so you switch them out. You try a few other things. But having a few things ready to go is probably a good idea. And just goes along with everything else, like being prepared and being consistent, right?
Exactly. Like, I really just love minimal things. That's kind of my style. But I wasn't always like that. I went through a phase where I loved a lot of rustic things and props, and it was beautiful. I just kind of grew out of that. And again, it's all about just finding, you know, your creative space and what makes you happy and what you like. Yeah, and having those go-tos. The toolkit is that should be another homework assignment.
Right, right, create a little toolkit. Yeah.
Toolkit of your favorite little props.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that idea.
I love that. Mikal, I love that you gave us homework. I love it. Thank you so much. This was so incredibly helpful. I am going to wrap up, sort of summarize here. So everybody, you know, just you can go back and watch this video again. But just a little summarizing here. First, knowing your demo, amazing tip. I love that. Sort of, we think about it for writing. We don't always think about it in terms of, you know, in terms of our photography and our artistic side. So knowing your demo. Finding your own inspiration to find your own style, really having your own style, having the correct camera, being consistent, editing properly using something like a VSCO cam or one of those other apps you mentioned like Snapseed or Afterlight, and then the homework you gave with sort of experimenting with one photo to really help you find your style and what you like and what works, using natural light. And only, you know, using other light if you have to, but really maximizing your natural light, knowing the times of day that are best. Don't be afraid to get outside if you have to. And then having your toolkit of props. Love it. Such amazing, amazing tips here. Really valuable. I cannot thank you enough. Really. This was amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day. We're so appreciative of your time. Mwah. I know we will be chatting more soon.
Yes, totally.
So mwah, lots of love to you. Thank you again so much for joining us.
All right.
Bye. Bye.